Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Mr. Collar is here. Purple Insider is a must. PurpleInsider.football. Check it out. Mailbag, stories, interviews, video analysis, you name it, it's all there. And Matthew's here every Friday for us. And like all of our guests, Matt is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. Hope all is well. If you could be right now one of the big three in the NFC, you could be the Vikings, you could be the Eagles, you could be the Lions, or maybe let's just make it the big four. Let's include the Packers. Which team, if Matthew Collar had put a dollar or so on and said, that is the team I like best to make an extended run in January, where is your dollar as of today?
Ooh, that is a tough question, because if the Vikings win out, they get the number one seed. So in the sports world, we call that controlling your own destiny.
Yes, that is correct. I'll jot that down.
Okay, make sure you take a note of that if you need to use it some other time. But there's no other team that controls their own destiny like that. I mean, at least, you know, the way the tiebreakers are right now. Do we think the Vikings are winning all three? They certainly could. Well, you know, when you're talking about a Seattle team that is coming off a pretty bad performance against Green Bay with a quarterback who's a little banged up, then you have Packers at home. It's going to be a tough game, but, you know, you're the better team with the better record, and then go to Detroit where they have no defensive players left and the Vikings are not really intimidated by Ford Field or by Dan Campbell. And these teams have played a bunch of times against each other and it's usually close. So I think I would have to pick the Vikings because they're the only team that has that advantage. But the best team in the NFC top to bottom is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I don't know, it might be hard to argue otherwise, just the way that they've played recently, their offensive and defensive lines. They've stacked up their defense. They run the ball incredibly well with Saquon Barkley. They just have a lot of talent as far as wide receivers go. But even then, they are not the most explosive passing game, and the Vikings have an edge there as well. The Vikings are a better passing game, which is usually what dictates success in the playoffs. I mean, all these teams have, I think, an equal chance, and I would even throw the Packers in. Since Jordan Love has gotten back to full health, he's played like the superstar quarterback that they talked about at the end of last season, and they are also in that conversation. I really think it is a four-team race for the NFC, but you might put it 25% for all four teams.
Okay, do you think home field in this race, and I'm with you, the way Green Bay played last week, I think they have to be included in this conversation. Does home field matter that much? And again, to remind folks, if you get the number one seed, you get the week off. Does that, with this mix of teams, home field and that number one seed, does it matter as much as it normally does?
I'm going to say yes. I think home field would be absolutely enormous to the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, number one, their defense is built to play in a building like U.S. Bank Stadium. I mean, look at, and yes. I know it's not a great test case, but I mean, just look at what Caleb Williams was last week, lost out there, trying to pick through what they're doing, where the rushes are coming from, what the coverage is going to look like, all the changes at the line of scrimmage. Those are extremely difficult anywhere, but they are even more difficult at U.S. Bank Stadium. The week off, too, because one of the main storylines of this Vikings team has been that their defense has gotten worn down, that a lot of the players, they've been healthy, which is a good thing for them, but that means that they're playing a ton of snaps. The Grenard, the Van Ginkel, Cashman, Harrison Phillips, those guys. And there have been times where I've felt like, yeah, they're on the field too much. And they need a break. And if they were to get a week off, and that means this defense is fresh, Harrison Smith is banged up, he's questionable for this game. If you get him healthy, Grenard with his quickness, fresh with a week off, I mean, that could be really, really beneficial to the Minnesota Vikings. So, of course, I mean, you want that. And that week off, they only give it to one team, and then somebody else has to get their butts whooped around for a playoff game and all that stuff, and then come play you where you've just been chilling and waiting for them. I think that advantage is as big as it has ever been. The other part of it, too, is you don't want to go to Philadelphia. I don't have to explain that one, right? You just
no, you don't
want to go. I think they'd be okay going to, you know, if they got to go to the Rams, if they got to go to the Bucks, all right, well, they'd be favored in those games. I think going to Ford Field is not something that terrifies me. It would be a tough atmosphere, but it's not something new for the Vikings. They're in their division. They've seen that team a bunch of times. Philadelphia is the one place where you go, absolutely not. Nope, that's dead last on the list of places you want to go.
Okay, speaking of health, they play Seattle. It's a later start. It's a little past 3. Who's in and who's out? And even if they're in, you mentioned Harrison Smith. Who else should people be paying attention to because they're not quite – I mean, everybody's not 100%. That's a given. But it's more notable considering where they've been listed on the injured list during the week.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see with Seattle. But from their side, Geno Smith is practicing full every day, so he should be good to go. But as far as the Vikings, yeah, Harrison Smith is questionable, and he missed practice yesterday with a foot injury. A Thursday practice is unusual for Harrison Smith to miss. If it was a Wednesday, you would say, all right, that's a veteran rest day for Harrison Smith, or any injury at all, you want him to not practice. But not practicing on a Thursday, that's a big day for the defense and their preparation. And then he was limited today, so kind of hard to say. They might have to bring Theo Jackson off the bench or move Josh Metellus back to that position. Harrison Smith would be a pretty big loss, but at very least it is their deepest position, I think, because Jackson never gets in the game. He can play. Mm-hmm. We know this guy can get in there from what we've seen in training camp and when he's had his chances. He just, everyone's been healthy. CJ Ham is banged up, which they're using him a lot lately, actually, in the bigger personnel. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. And Fabian Morrow and Jalen Redmond are both going to be out, but Stephon Gilmore is back in, which is a big thing for them. Jalen Redmond being out is big because I wouldn't have thought I'd say that to you 3 weeks ago.
Right,
but
this guy,
he has come in and found his way in the backfield. Like, when's the last time a defensive tackle was actually getting penetration up the field and tracking people down and making plays and creating pressure? So that is a big loss for them for their defensive line rotation.
This is Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.football. It's a must-read. We'll put Matthew on hold and come back to him. I see our friend Rochelle Olson has a brief note on the situation where the DFLer was ruled early in the day, wasn't living in the district, and thus is disqualified, even though he won the seat. Well, the state Supreme Court has quickly denied a discretionary review of candidate Johnson's appeal, denied it. So he is out. So as of now, the Republicans have a one-vote advantage in the House. Who knows when that seat will be filled? And then we still have the Tapke-Paul situation, which is very much up in the air. An election that just won't end. Minnesota giving us a little more material. Back to the purple with Caller when we return.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems a fair ask, right?
It's not too much to ask.
Too much. Let's bring Matthew Collar in. We should point out, too, the Major Garrett Ping Pong has now landed back for us. That Major is going to join us 2:35. Greatest Christmas present of Matthew Collar's life. Is there one that stands out that is still indelible in your memory?
Yeah, I would say there probably is one. If you go back to my childhood, there is a story that my dad still loves to tell about how he fought like crazy to find a toboggan for us. We randomly put a toboggan on the list, and he went to every store and then randomly found it at some sort of hardware store. And so it was one of those like Christmas Eve last minute. He thought that we wanted this toboggan more than anything in the world, and he made the effort to get it. So good parenting.
That's great.
On his part, but that's probably the most memorable one. Yeah.
That's great. Last time Matthew Collar went sliding or tubing?
My parents have this really long hill, and that's why we wanted the toboggan.
Yep.
And I think probably the first time that I brought my wife home to meet the parents or something like that, the first year when it was snowing, the toboggan was still around. So I think that we went sledding down the hill on that very first trip. And then, of course, you go tobogganing with me, you're going to spend a lifetime with me after that.
So. That's it, I mean, Dave, when you think of, DeRussia just told us the other day, what was the first date? It was like Polka Festival or something like that. Then the second day was a car wash with Collar. Right. It's a toboggan.
One ride down the hill and you're smitten.
I mean, he must have dirt on Sloan's family or something.
Naturally.
It's never made any sense, and it makes even less sense now, right, to be honest.
Well, perhaps he's a great toboggan pilot.
You would appreciate that our first, I wouldn't call it a date, but time hanging out was actually playing basketball because she was a Division III basketball player.
I know that.
And when I met her, I was trash talking her, saying that I could beat her, but she didn't realize that I can ball. So she challenged me as a very competitive person. And you knowing her, you would understand that she would do this. And so we played and then decided to go get some Wendy's after that.
Okay. What happened in the game?
I don't think she would want to tell you the result.
I don't think
she would want to tell you how it goes.
Interesting.
I could tell you.
Yeah.
Very
interesting. Okay, back to football. What was your shock level on the Cousins decision? We've known for a while he was not playing well. The arm strength just isn't there. The accuracy wasn't there. We can make the argument if they were using him properly, but they win a very ugly game, same night as the Vikings played. He was not good, but they're right in the middle of it in a weak division. What was your reaction?
Yeah, I saw some people talking about how he was being used, and I was pretty perplexed. Like, we've all watched how he's throwing the football, right? I mean, to the other team. Kirk has 9 interceptions and 1 touchdown in the last 5 games. He's playing football like Christian Ponder, but worse recently. And I don't think they had any other choice, because Atlanta, all they have to do is tie the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they win the division because they beat the Bucks twice. And with Kirk, it was pretty clear that physically he was just breaking down. I mean, if you think about it, the guy had no offseason. He had to heal his entire Achilles. I mean, these guys spend the entire offseason building up their bodies to be able to take the hits and the punishment and 17 weeks of football, and he didn't have that opportunity at age 36 and with the worst injury that you can have, and it's just not there. You don't see any velocity behind the football. He can't roll out. He can't move. Why aren't they running play action? He can't do it. He can't do it fast enough. I don't think people really understand how fast Sam Darnold is actually moving when he's doing a play fake and getting back. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ball has to come out within 2.5 seconds on that play. You got to be moving quick. And Kirk can't do it. So the only way they've got to run their offense is doing the pistol or the shotgun. And he's a smart enough guy and an accurate enough thrower that he's been able to survive. But I also think that defenses halfway through a season figured out they can only do a couple things on offense. And once they figured that out, it became a complete nightmare for them. Also, everything I've heard about Michael Penix is that they love him and that a lot of teams love him coming out in the draft. So he's a mature rookie quarterback that it wouldn't shock me if he came right in and played well. The other thing is, too, they're playing the Giants. What a great time to bring in your rookie quarterback to get him acclimated. You get a preseason game first, and then you can move on from there. But I thought they made the right decision, and it just further highlights what we already knew. The Minnesota Vikings, of course, made one of the biggest decisions that they could have made as a franchise and smartest decisions in a long time to move on from him.
And again, 2 points in this. I don't fault Cousins in any way for taking that extra year and even getting a little bit of a cushion the third year, because it was a very different offer than the Vikings. And bravo to Kwesi for potentially even staring down his head coach, who multiple reports say that KOC really wanted Kirk back, and that Kwesi stayed principal to his position, and it turned out to be 1,000% the right decision.
Yeah, I've always thought, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever fully bought that there was some sort of schism. You know, we love our schisms here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that when Kwesi Adofo-Mensah got here and had his conversation with the Wilfs to get the job, a major part of it was, what are we doing at the quarterback position? And Kwesi accidentally showed his cards in a Yahoo Sports article when he first got here about how he felt about Cousins and what his plan was going to be. And Cousins didn't play so well that you would change your entire franchise plan. And when Kevin O'Connell got here, I'm sure that there was a selling point of, like, we're going to eventually draft a quarterback. And Kwesi also dropped a few nuggets where he had said, yeah, we identified this quarterback draft class a couple of years ago as the one where we were going to do this. They had multiple opportunities to extend Cousins, including after the 2022 4th-and-8 checkdown, and they didn't do it then. So I don't know. I think it was always the plan, but it's also always Kevin O'Connell's disposition to believe in quarterbacks, to love on quarterbacks, and to try to, you know, be as positive as he can. And sometimes people have kind of laughed at him about that, but not really laughing now with the way that Sam Darnold has performed. But I think he was realistic about the cost of bringing back Cousins if they had matched the Atlanta offer, clearly, since that's what they ended up doing.
I greatly appreciate you coming on. We're not going to talk for a little bit since we're off next week. I hope you and Sloan have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Thank you, sir. Happy holidays to you. And Harrigan, if you want to go tobogganing, I mean, you know.
Hello.
I'm in. I'll bring the saucer suit, too.
Yeah, I'd like to go. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, guys.
He's got that card in his wallet. No matter what.
You added the stop talking card to the clip.
And at some point, you might be in some conversation with him, and he holds the card out. Or you might try to engage it. I mean, you see him in the hallway. Nope. The stop talking card comes up. Boom. That's it. I think it's possible the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, might want to say that to Elon Musk couple of days ago when the Prime Minister stepped in and turned the entire world upside down. The Speaker, about an hour and 10 minutes ago, met the media very briefly, as you know. You've been all over this story all day, and said, we are not going to have a shutdown. The deadline is tonight. Major, how are they avoiding the shutdown?
They don't know, and I don't know. You can say we're not going to have a shutdown, but until you have a legislative product, meaning a bill that can pass under the rules that you and your House Republican majority established, what is the rule? 72 hours to read the bill and consider it. So you can't jam a bill through without anyone knowing what's in it. Okay, that's a laudable intention. I understand it. Republicans want to hold themselves to that high standard or higher than normal standard. Fine. Well, that's a rule. Well, guess what? In the House, you can't pass something and ignore that rule unless you do what? You suspend the rules. Mm-hmm. What do you have to do in the House to suspend the rules? You need a two-thirds majority. Republicans don't possess a two-thirds majority. They barely possess a simple majority. So, follow with me now. If you can't pass it with your votes, who do you have to talk to? Democrats. And they're not, as I understand it, and as they have said publicly, they're still not read in on this thing, whatever it is, to avert a shutdown. And until you get Democratic buy-in, if you're going to change the rules, meaning suspend them, you need Democrats to vote for it. They're not going to vote blindly, and they're still angry as all get out that the deal they negotiated with the Speaker, with the Republican Senate leadership, over 7 or 8 grinding weeks, all blew up. Because Prince, Prime Minister, Broligarch, whatever you want to call him, what we know for sure is not one human being in this country ever voted for Elon Musk, scuttled the deal. And Democrats are, I believe, within their rights to be irked. And if they're going to vote for something, they need to be part of the deal.
Are they including the Senate in any of these conversations?
Hard to tell. I believe right now the barometer for the Senate, as House Republicans consider it to be, is not John Thune, the incoming Senate Republican leader, not Mitch McConnell, the outgoing Senate Republican leader, but J.D. Vance, the incoming vice president-elect.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever J.D. Vance says publicly, they sort of say, well, that must be what's okay on the Senate. If they know anything about Senate politics, they better have at least a couple of other sources of information. So right now it feels very insular. It feels very much within the House Republicans and what they think they can do. Now, if I would say this as a general proposition, the Senate knows that the House of Representatives is tied in all sorts of knots if they untie themselves, meaning if they get a bipartisan compromise and it passes the House under suspension, I believe it is highly likely the Senate would follow suit and follow suit in pretty quick order.
Do they need 60 votes
in the Senate? And enough Senate Republicans to do it. Pardon me?
Do they need 60 votes in the Senate or just the majority?
They would need 60 votes if there's a filibuster, if there's a blocking attempt. And that's my point. I don't if Democrats are okay with it in the House, Democrats in the Senate would be okay with it. And they have said they want to avert a shutdown for all sorts of reasons. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, just think about this. Just think about one thing. Everyone at the airport, every TSA employee would have to work and not get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want your TSA people during the choking traffic jam of these holidays to be working and knowing that they're eventually going to get paid, but they're not being paid?
Mm-mm.
I want my TSA employees at this time of year as happy as possibly they can be.
I also.
They work hard. They're super important.
I want them on their toes and happy, not ground down by a government shutdown. And that flows through a lot of other important federal government functions that must continue, but must continue without pay. Now, they get back pay. I understand all that. But in the moment, it's an aggravating circumstance. I don't want my TSA personnel aggravated in this massive holiday season.
You can't predict the future. I can't predict the future. Only, by the way, the California psychics who advertise here, they can predict the future. That's a separate conversation. But if you're Elon Musk, Major, you're thinking, this is great. This is what it's going to be like the next 4 years. I'm going to have this fiefdom that I'll hang around with my pal, the president. But sometimes I'll just jump ahead of him, and I'll get everybody to jump as high as possible. Because he is not one to shy away from his ego, his power. And he saw how he changed everything. He's just, as you said, 7, 8, 9 weeks of negotiations. And Elon goes on one of those crazy tweet storms or post storms, whatever we're calling it now. And everything changed. And as you know, about 4 or 5 hours after Elon jumped on the story, then did this other guy, who I think I call the president-elect, Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure it's an intoxicating thing. I'm sure it's right up there with a ketamine rush. I don't know. I've never taken ketamine, but we'll set that aside. As a matter of fact, I got a joking text from a couple of Republicans on Capitol Hill today saying, "I guess we're going to go to Plan K." And I'm like, "What is that? K for ketamine?" And they laughed, you know, because they've already gone through Plan A, B, C, D. You follow me along the alphabet,
right.
But look, I don't blame Elon. I blame the House Republicans who, at the first sign of any objection from Elon, ran for the hills. They gave him this power.
They curled up.
He didn't possess it. He didn't possess it. They handed it over to him. And mark my words. Listen, anyone who can hear my voice, House Republicans are going to have to disappoint Elon at one point or another to resolve this. There's no other way to do it, okay? Majority's too narrow. Can't do it. You're going to disappoint him. Why they did not disappoint him the very first time and said, guess what? Nobody voted for you. I'm the one who possesses this vote in this constitutional republic. I represent my citizenry. I will talk to my citizenry about my vote. I will hear you. I'll hear you out. I'll pay attention to you. But I'm not giving my vote over to you. They did that. And do you think he's going to be happy when they ultimately have to disappoint him? No. He's going to come back at them even harder the second or third time. Look, they had a choice. In my estimation, understanding legislative politics, understanding national politics, as I've come to, if you have to disappoint someone, disappoint them straight up the first time, look them in the eye, and then you can have a trustworthy, straight-up relationship from that point forward. If you don't, and you go run and hide, you will not earn their respect, and they'll run you to ground, and they'll run you ragged for as long as that relationship exists.
On a scale of zero, no involvement at all, to 10, maximum involvement, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm still going to answer it. How involved is Joe Biden, the president of the United States, in these negotiations right now?
Right now, at this point, he doesn't need to be. There's nothing for him to do. This is a House Republican problem of their own creation. I believe he was, and through the powers of the White House and his legislative team, pretty significantly involved in the compromise that Elon Musk, then President-elect Trump, scuttled. At this point, I think he could be a bit more vocal. I think he could be a little bit more explanatory and say, you know, we respect the election results. I went to the Rose Garden right after the election and said, we accept the results. We will engage in a smooth transition. But I will take this moment to remind the country, I warned you, Vice President Harris warned you, other Democrats warned you that chaos would ensue. I think that's what this looks like to me. I'm no expert, but I think this could be resolved. Here are the parameters in which Democrats can resolve it and at least fill in some of the voids that the White House is leaving either other Democrats to fill or this suspended animation to fill. I know in politics you let your struggling adversary continue to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't throw them a lifeline. But still, operationally, constitutionally, you're the president of the United States. You are invested in whether or not there's a shutdown right before Christmas. He could be much more publicly a part of this conversation than he has been. And that's consistent with the sort of I'm out of here modality of this White House since Election Day.
The Wall Street Journal yesterday, as you know, lengthy story about the president, his ability to do the job, good days, bad days, shielding him. Very atypical from other presidents with cabinet meetings, with one-on-one meetings, with cabinet officials. You're so plugged in, I can't believe you were surprised by any of this. What else do you think we're going to learn about Joe Biden and how involved or non-involved he was over the last couple of years?
I don't know. I don't know how much more. I don't know how much more granular this needs to be. My good friend, someone you know, Tim Penny, did the Q&A session when I was at the Minnesota Economic Club, and he asked me a question. He said, you know, how do you account for the media hiding President Biden's problems?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm going to take issue with that word hiding. I said, look, we showed President Biden live on television many, many times. We showed replays of the president. We made it visible as much as the news required of it to be visible, the news he was making and how he was making it, whether it's presidential press conference speeches and the like. And the public was all along making determinations about his fitness for office. It showed up at polls all the time. Social media was an amplification device of that, sometimes overhyping, sometimes trying to cover up for it. But anyway, it was all in the fray there as well. I'm not a doctor. Nobody that I work with who covers the White House is a doctor. I don't know how to assess whether or not Donald Trump is losing it because he slipped trying to get into a trash truck in the campaign any better than I can when I see President Biden in certain circumstances looking less than he used to. We're not diagnostic people. We are show people prominent of public officials and let them make up their own minds. These Wall Street Journal stories have gone farther than anyone else's in trying to give some actual in the room, which we don't see, those of us who cover the White House, specificity about the good days and bad days of this president. I think if you asked any American a year ago, do you think the president of the United States has good days and bad days? I don't think they have any trouble giving you an answer on that question. So I don't think the media hid things or covered up for President Biden. Did the White House hyper protect him? Yes. That's something that we talked about. We would say the president hasn't had press conferences in this number of days. His schedule is lighter than this has been. We document those things that are documentable. And I may be arguing from a losing proposition. I don't think we hit it. I think the public was as tuned into it as it could be. And the issues related to speech patterns of candidate Trump, his muscularity, his walking around, we covered that too. Again, we didn't jump to conclusions. We're not allowed to jump to conclusions. We're not diagnostic people. We are not doctors in this space or any other space. What we're going to learn more about the president, I don't know. The country learned a lot more about Woodrow Wilson than it knew the last 18 months of his presidency. There's no comparison. I'm not suggesting there is. But there's a lot more you learn after a presidency than you do in the midst of it.
You have 60 seconds. Tell me the greatest Christmas gift of your life outside of the birth of your children.
There was a tricycle type toy. If you look it up online, you can find it, called an X15. The big wheel. It was sort of the metal version of the big wheel.
Yeah.
But it was before that. It had pedals. It had a great seat. Three wheels. Big joystick in the middle. I got that when it was like 7 or 8. I basically ran the hard rubber tires off that bad boy. That was the greatest gift of my life as a kid.
That's pretty good. And then I'm told you still drive a similar one around the district. And it's
passing out his cards.
True fact. I drive a Mini Cooper that is a stick shift. because I love to drive a stick shift, and I've learned it is an auto theft protection mechanism. Because most people who want to steal your car don't know how to drive a stick.
That is fair. I'm sorry I missed you the other day. I heard you were great. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas to everyone.
Take care, sir. The great Major Garrett at 52 past 2 on CCO.